Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Red Sox Hot Stove episode. Tons to get over in this episode. It's probably going to be one of the more loaded episodes we'll have in the coming weeks. Big news of the day. J.D. Martinez has opted in to the final year of his original five-year contract. He'll be making a little over $19 million on this final year. Other big news of the day, Eduardo Rodriguez giving the $18 million qualifying offer. He has 10 days to accept or decline that. If he does decline it and sign someplace else, the Red Sox will get a compensation draft pick, probably, what, somewhere in the 30s or 40s maybe, from the team he does sign for. So, and then some minor stuff. Martin Perez, Garrett Richards, both had their options declined today, so they are officially free agents, as are guys like Adam Ottavino, Hansel Robles, which we knew would be the case regardless. So, before we do get started, we have brought in a brand new YouTube crew. There are 8 hosts that could be appearing on various episodes, probably only 3 at a time, but it'll be 3 of the 8. So that channel on YouTube is going to be very busy in the coming days and weeks. They've already given their reaction to J.D. Martinez. And again, that's a separate crew. None of the hosts from this show will be on there, including myself. Different crew, different mindset. So go find the Bastards of Boston YouTube page. Finally, gentlemen, Charlie Smith, Andrew Dwan. Are you guys ready?
We're running it back.
I know. It feels like yesterday we were just doing this.
I know. I'm kind of... Winters are long, so I hope this one's painless. We got the CBA, so it's going to be unique regardless, but this is the normal part of the hot stove where the options get declined and the guys opt in, qualifying offers are all dealt out. So let's start with the J.D. Martinez opt-in. Charlie, let's start with you. Are you surprised that he decided to opt into his age 34 season? Or did you think he wanted to test the open market?
I think that... So I want to say that I said it was like 60... I was feeling like 60-65% he was going to re-sign and he was going to come back and not opt out. And the reason for that being is I don't think he wants to be stuck with a team that's only going to offer 15, 16 million. He might not get that much. They saw him tear it up at the beginning of the year and then very quickly kind of fall apart, for the lack of a better term. He was fire. I remember Andrew had said, you know, we'd be lucky if we got 80% of J.D. Martinez. And I was like, I'll take 80% of J.D. Martinez from, I think if I'm correct, Andrew, at the beginning of the year, you said from 2018, like 2018 version of J.D., if we get 80%, that'll be good. And I was like, that's actually, yeah, I remember holding on to that from the beginning of the year. I was like, 80% is really good. And at the beginning of the year, he was giving us like 110% because it was on fire. He just could do no wrong. I felt like every single game he was getting a double. every single series a minimum of two. He was doing his job. But towards the middle and end of the season, it was a shadow of his former self in relation to the beginning of the year. And I think had he started off slow and heated up, almost kind of had an inverse of how his season took place, I think this is a player that would have opted out to get a Nelson Cruz type deal, maybe like a 2 for $45 or something like that. But I'm not as surprised, and it's only because he cooled off significantly in the second half of the season. But you know, I was content with his output. All things considered, he almost had 100 RBIs this year. He still hit just a little over 280. He did have 40 doubles, so it's not like he didn't do his job, but he did cool off. Andrew?
Yeah, I think I was the most adamant in saying he would be back. I think I was like 90%. I just, from day one, it's not like he insisted on having these opt-outs in the contract. That was pretty much the Red Sox flagging his medical from day one, kind of putting the whole signing into jeopardy, but there was really no other market for him. If you recall, he wanted $200 million that offseason, and the Red Sox came with by far the largest offer. So I think he has a good thing going. He loves the city. He loves the team and the guys he plays with. So I'm really happy that they have this contract done, that they're not going into the offseason with any sort of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Their offense is pretty much locked down at this point. Anything else that they add is just bonus. The only piece that's missing is Kyle Schwarber, but they said that they were in talks with him. I don't think he's necessary, quite frankly, at this point. And I do think that we can see in pretty much the first half, JD, if we're not forced to play him in the outfield so much. And that's what was happening during, you know, the middle and later part of the season. They were running him out there a lot. Occasionally, you know, it used to be once a series or once every other series, and sometimes he was in the outfield pretty much the entire series, and that just breaks guys down, especially at his age. I'm happy about it. I don't think the contract's that bad. I wouldn't be shocked to see him in a uniform the year after if he has a good year, because we know he has the qualifying offer. That's, you know, unless the CBA gets rid of it. So good for him for getting his money and not having to worry about the business end of it with the lockout. I'm happy. I've seen a lot of people that seemed a little disappointed on Twitter, which I'm not too sure about. I think people like the shiny new object, but sometimes good old consistency is what it takes to win.
I don't hate the idea of JD Martinez coming back next year, but having said that, I'm pretty stunned that he opted in. And the reason I say that is I understand there's risk. There's risk as far as opting in. There's risk as far as opting out. But let's just say this coming season, which will be his age 34 season, let's say he gets hurt halfway through the year. Then what's his market next winter? What if, and now here's another scenario to consider. What if he just has an off year? What if he hits 255 with 21 home runs and 79 RBIs and his OBP is about 320. Those are serious dips, even after this year with a not so great second half. So he has to have a really good year in 2022 to have somewhat of a market next year going into his age 35 season. I think he should have just went for it, really. I mean, what's the worst he would have signed for this coming year? And let's say it was a team like, let's say it was the Mariners, for instance. You know, they might seek out an upgrade or two this winter. So let's say it was the Mariners. I mean, is he going to be making $7 or $8 million? I don't think he's going to take that bad of a hit.
No.
So
no.
Maybe 12 or $14 million, and that was part of the risk.
I personally thought if he was unlucky, he might see something in the 16-17 range, a couple million less. But I mean, you're talking about hitting 250, Terry. In the month of July, the Red Sox went 12-12 in games that he played, and he hit like 240, and it was like a shadow. Like, he started the season off, he averaged a double. He averaged a double the first seven games of the season minimum. He was on fire. He had a double, it felt like, every single game. The rest of April and all of May, he had six doubles. So you started to see some, like a little bit of inconsistency there, but you can't put it all on one 34-year-old guy. Like, JD Martinez is not David Ortiz, but 17 million, 2 years, 34 million. I could see that. 3 years, 53 million, something like that. Maybe it was 17 plus, 17.6. He would have taken a little bit of a hit, but depending on how he does this year, we'll see. I still don't think he's going to finish his career as a Red Sox. I'm pretty adamant about that.
I don't think he's brought back after 2022.
Right.
Here's another thing, too. He didn't have a great second half, but he had a pretty decent postseason, especially given the fact he lost where second base was and messed his ankle up pretty bad. But, I mean, he hit 467 in the ALDS against the Rays, had a 733 slugging percentage. That's massive. And then not so great in the ALCS. He hit 235, but he did have a OBP of 435, so 200 points above his batting average. And he hit three home runs and drove in 10 overall. It took Mookie Betts 5 years to achieve just that. So, I mean, he was pretty productive in the postseason, and I think there's value there. I think that would have been attractive to teams this winter. So I'm pretty stunned that he's just gonna go into his age 34 season with a 1 year deal.
Yeah, and if I can say so, I think this is a great thing for the Red Sox to not tie down the DH spot for, you know, 5-6 years or whatever Kyle Schwarber wants, because he's a limited player and he's not a pure hitter. JD Martinez at his best was a pure hitter, goes to all fields, doesn't try to hit home runs, but runs into 35 a year. Schwarber kind of lays it all out. He's going to hit at best 250. If I'm going to invest 5 years in upwards of $100 million at DH, I want someone that can do what JD did for that money. I just don't think an all or nothing guy in this day and age is worth spending six figures on to take a position that you might need down the road with Xander, with who knows what's going on with that, or Devers, who knows what's going on with that, or if Dahlbeck is, you know, for real and Cassis is for real. You have a lot of things that could slide into that DH spot once this 1 year deal's up, if they don't offer QO, but obviously that's a question for a different day.
Well, with Schwarber real quick, you're right. I mean, he's not as pure of a hitter. I mean, he did hit 32 home runs this year, so I mean there's still power there, and he's still probably going to be a high OBP guy, which makes him a bona fide top of the order bat, whether it's first, second, maybe even third at some point. So I still think there's value there. He turns 29 in March, so next year will be his age 29 season, so 5 years younger than JD. I'd hate to give him 5 years. I could live with a 4 year deal. It's tough to tell what his market will be, but you can play him at first. You can play him in left. He probably DHs. Well, if JD wasn't here, he probably would have DHed probably at least 2/3 of his starts, but I wouldn't have hated that either. Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah. So for Schwarber, I'll say this much: 4 years, I don't know if I'd want to go four on Schwarby. 3 years would probably be a cap for me. But while he had a great little spell hitting almost 300 for us, he was hitting out of his mind when he joined us. He was saved as far as being like an on-basis threat by being walked as often as he did and drawing as many walks as he did. He drew more walks as a member of the Red Sox than he did as a member of the Nationals this year. And he played in just a little more than half the games. Like, he drew walks. And I think it was significantly because of that ridiculous month of, I believe it was June for him, when he had, it was like 15 or 16 home runs out of 27 hits. He just went off. It was like every pitch he saw, it was just gold before he got injured. I don't think you see him hit 250 for a regular season. I think the reason why he finished up a little more than 250 was because of his, again, his stint in Boston this year. He's not a crazy hitter. Who's a better hitter, Schwarber or JD Martinez? Martinez.
JD. I'll say this, though. JD was a bit of a late bloomer. And Schwarber, I'm not saying Schwarber's going to reach those heights, but I mean, his WAR was slightly higher than JD's this year. Schwarber had a 3.2, JD was 3 even. So I wouldn't have hated it. Is a 4-year deal for a guy like Schwarber ideal? Not necessarily, but it's only through his age 32 season.
So when we're talking about Schwarber, Schwarber's been in the league since, was it 7 years?
Something like that.
I think he was in Chicago for 5.
2015 was a rookie, I think, and then he missed most of 2016 with an ACL. Came back in the World Series, literally the World Series.
So 7 years he's been playing. JD Martinez figured it out in year 4. That's my argument there. Where would I, if I'm paying JD Martinez $19 million, you got to make a really good case to pay Schwarber 20 plus. And I don't know if I can. Like, I'm not shocked that he was not content with the amount of money he made. He hit almost 30 home runs this year. Or actually, no, he had what? It was 32 for him, right?
32.
He had 25 and 7. Yeah, 25 and 7. He's going to get paid. There's going to be some team that's going to overpay him. They're going to pay him 24, 25. And they're going to try to give the illusion that he can crack 30 and 100. He's not going to be a 30, 100, 270 hitter. He'll be a 28 to 30, 85 RBI, maybe 240 if you're blessed. If you're in Colorado even, you know, like, I mean, in Colorado, I think he could be actually insane. Balls fly out of there pretty well. I don't know if they have the humidor or whatever, just the fact that it's like super high, like 800,000 feet above sea level. Not really. Andrew, what is it? What's Coors at in Colorado?
It's 5280. Yeah, it's a mile. It's
dumb. But I mean, if he were to go to a team like Colorado, I'm sure he would mash.
Well, I'll tell you where he's going.
Where do you think he's going to go?
There's one GM that absolutely loves Kyle Schwarber.
Here we go.
And it's not very far from Fenway Park.
Here we go. Here we go, kids.
He's going to the Bronx. I don't think Yankees care much about Luke Voit at this point. Rizzo's gone. I think he's going to the Bronx. I think we're going to be playing against him.
4 and 100?
Probably 480. I don't think he'll go above 20. Go ahead.
Oh, I would love it. I mean, it would suck offensively, but think of that defense. Where would you play him?
Yeah.
Yankees?
Well,
yeah.
They'd play him at first.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man.
Well, they got rid of Gardner's Greg Bird,
gone.
Right?
Gardner's gone, so, I mean, they could play him in left.
Well, they have Hicks coming back.
Right.
And they're paying him a ton of money.
Well, he'll play.
Right, but, you know, Hicks is only going to play 6 games. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's always injured.
I would love a guy like Hicks if he was healthy, but it just never works out for him. He'll have Tommy John on his other arm for some reason.
I got another player I want to ask about later on, if we have time.
All right. Any more thoughts on JD? I mean, I think we can all say we don't hate it, but I mean,
no, I'm happy about it.
Like I'm okay.
It leaves you no competition to sign one of these two guys. You have it locked down. No one's driving up the price, and quite frankly, this is one of the best free agent signings over the course of its tenure in Red Sox history.
So one thing Gombrowski got right.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for real.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's move on to the other big development of the day. Eduardo Rodriguez will get the $18.3 million qualifying offer, I think it is. 18-something million, let's put it that way. So he's got 10 days to decide whether or not he wants to play for that amount of money for 1 year, or he can reject it and then become a free agent. But his market could be limited because whatever team goes to sign him will have to give the Red Sox a draft pick. So that's why in previous years it's been tough for those qualifying offer guys to sign. with teams. So, Andrew, we'll let you lead off on this one. Like, how do we dissect this?
I think we hope he takes it, and I think we hope they can maybe bang out a 4-year deal, maybe just shy under $20 million. His numbers were so much better than what they let on last year. He was cursed by that defense, and his BABIP was like 400. It made no sense because like his hard hit percentage was great. Everything was. All of his numbers were really good when you get into the grand scheme of things. He just had terrible luck. And this was, coming back after a year of, laying in bed and sitting on a couch, not working out. Quite frankly, he probably should have been worse than his numbers were. So I'm happy about it. I think he takes it. I'm not, willing to bet my life on that because I guarantee he's fielding calls tonight. Why wouldn't you? And you figure this out. You got 10 days. A lot can get done in 10 days, especially by the teams that aren't going to be scared of negotiating before the CBA. And those teams are the ones that want pitching and are willing to spend for it. So watch out for, the Angels giving them a call if they don't think they can get a Clayton Kershaw or a guy like that. He's going to be in demand. And if someone meets his price prior to that 10 days, he's gone.
Charlie.
I'm not shocked that they gave him the qualifying offer. He did pretty well. I can't deny what Andrew just said about it. And all things considered, after having like a ha-ha off year, where we're like, I guess this is it. Like we're done with E-Rod. We're not going to see him again. Like he's got myocarditis and that's it. We had no, knowledge on what was going to happen for someone that was suffering from this kind of affliction. I don't want to call it a sickness. It's not a sickness. It's an affliction where you're forever changed. It was his arguably his second best season in his career. If the Red Sox, I remember earlier this year, I think all of us were talking about, 5 years, 125 or 5 years, 120. Is that a possibility? No, because he's not going to sign it. He's going to end up wanting more money. He's going to want closer to $30 million. And then 2021 happened, and it wasn't happening. And slowly but surely, you saw E-Rod falling apart. And then he picked himself back up, and he fixed it, made the adjustments, had a decent playoff run, had some really good games, did his job in ways that some of the other starters were unable to do. I don't know if the Red Sox, because this qualifying offer is really like a prove it to us deal. I don't think the Red Sox end up working out a deal to get him because he's going to want $25 million. He's going to command probably 4 years, $100 million. And I don't know if I can see myself saying yes, $100 million over the next 4 years to E-Rod. If he signs this QO and he agrees to it, because there may be a team out there that is willing to give him $22-25 million a year. If I'm the Red Sox, I'm struggling to consider that. But at the same time, if he signs the QO with I want to prove it to you guys that I'm not, I'm not broken, I'm not damaged. That's $176 million of committed money to contracts right now. That's a lot of money. That doesn't leave you a lot of wiggle room. So bringing back somebody like Kyle Schwarber or something like that, it ain't happening. They're going to have to do with what they've got.
Before I get my take, Andrew, I think we're at $195 million. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, if he accepts it, we're going to be at $195 million.
Right. Okay.
Oh, so, I thought it was $176 million.
That might have been coming into today before JD, okay. Before E-Rod.
Oh, I forgot JD. Yeah. Dummy.
So, I'm going to get to that in a minute because it's important. But I was a little bit surprised he took it. I was a little bit surprised the Red Sox offered him the qualifying offer, and it became known in the last week or so that he actually was offered an extension by the Red Sox at some point this year. I'm assuming it was probably around the time Barnes signed his deal, but that's not really known. The amount of the contract isn't known and the number of years is not known. I was kind of hoping somebody would ask Bloom about that today. He probably would have shut it down, but I don't think the beat writers did their job by not asking. So here's where I'm at with this. Do I hate the fact that Erod could come back next year on the qualifying offer? Not really, because you're probably going to end up just having to replace him for around similar money. So, you know, to me, what's the difference if it's him or, you know, Kevin Gausman, who I'd love to have anyway on top of Erod. But here's where I'm at. This is looking forward as to whether or not he's going to accept this qualifying offer or not. Will the Red Sox increase their offer from whatever it was? So let's say, just for argument's sake, let's say it was a 4-year, $60 million deal. That would have been 15 years per. That's what I thought he was worth anyway, coming into the season and even throughout the season. You know, $15 million per year for 4 years. So let's just say it was that, and he declined it. Are the Red Sox going to be willing to go above that? And is the qualifying offer simply like, well, we're just going to attach it to you and take the draft pick? And we're resigned to the fact that we're just getting a draft pick. Because I think that's where the situation could be at.
Yeah, I think I definitely think they're willing to negotiate. I think your line right now is, you know, the $18 million. Because why wouldn't he take that if that's not the case? I think he likes where he's at. I don't think that they have to worry about, you know, another guy coming in and can he pitch in the AL East? Erod's shown time in, time out, he can. And that is so beneficial to the Red Sox. We've seen guys come in and just totally fall flat in their face. So, yeah, I absolutely think that they're going to, you know, approach him again and increase their offer, because it was when they offered Matt Barnes that deal is when they gave Erod his offer. And that's when he was doing not so well. And we saw him kind of finish the season on an okay note. He did definitely come on a little when he got a better feel for the changeup and the velocity changes. So I think Erod's kind of in the driver's seat for negotiations. But we're going to have to see how that plays out.
Do you guys think, because we saw him struggle during the middle part of the year where he was, I mean, June was just not nice to him at all. He just got cracked. And two of those games were against the Yankees. One was against Tampa Bay. I don't remember if one was against Toronto, but it didn't matter who he got, who he faced. He just got cracked. Do you think that 3 years and 67.5 or 3 years and 69 million gets it done?
I would say so. I mean, anything over 20 is probably going to get it done. He doesn't have that much mileage on his arm. He's got less than like 900 innings as a pro, I think.
So would you sign him to 369?
I would. I think that AAV gets it done. I don't think the years get it done. I think he's going to want more than that.
And I think that's it. I think he's going to want more annual, and he's going to want a longer contract. If the Red Sox aren't willing to play, I don't think he's willing to stay. So
Rick Porcello was a righty, albeit, but he right. got a 4-year, $80 million deal. I mean,
Without throwing a pitch.
Yeah. And it actually was a 5-year deal because he had to play his final year of the Detroit deal, and then the 4 years got tacked on. But I mean, Erod's not worth more than that. Anything more than that to me is an overpay. Now, will he get more than that? Possibly. I don't think it would be from the Red Sox, but it's a very intriguing situation. And there's been moves before this that make it tough to predict which way it's going to head. Now, here's something else to consider here. We already kind of touched on it a few minutes ago. The Red Sox payroll is at $195 million. The luxury tax coming into this year, I believe, was $210. So we don't know what the new CBA is going to be. I think the luxury tax is still going to be here into the next agreement. I don't think it's going anywhere. So let's bump it up. I think I'm going to be a little generous with this bump, but let's say it goes up to 218. Typically it goes up 2 million every year or two. So let's tack on 8 million. That brings it to 218. The Red Sox would have $23 million to spend if they're going to try to stay under it. Now, you just lost your midseason upgrade, Kyle Schwarber. You lost Ottavino. You lost Robles. You're losing Richards out of the bullpen based on the second half. You're losing Perez. We don't care about that. And I'm going to boldly assume Matt Barnes is not going to be a $7.5 million pitcher. He might be that for about half the season because that's what he always is. But there's a lot we need to replace here with $23 million. So if I want Chaim Bloom to tell me that, yeah, they might go over a little bit by $10 or $20 million for a year or two, then I would be more comfortable. But if we're not going over it, because he did say today that there are parameters. Now, maybe that has nothing to do with the luxury tax. I don't know. But I kind of feel like it does have something to do with it, especially when Sam Kennedy says a couple weeks ago that they're sticking to the plan for 2022, their long-term plan. So go ahead, Charlie.
I was going to say this. Adam Ottavino and Garrett Richards and Martin Perez, that's addition by subtraction. You're not going to get anything more this year from those three. If any two of those three guys get re-signed, it's going to be Richards and Ottavino. I don't think Martin Perez is ever going to throw again in the majors. I think he blew his opportunity in Game 4 of the ALCS, where I watched him valiantly waving the white flag on the mound. It wasn't happening. There are going to be some cheap options. Like, what's Robles getting? I don't even know what he got paid last year.
Maybe a couple million, two, three
a couple million.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to find some players like that, one or two, for a couple million to fill the gaps. You're not going to have to commit to big names that are, quote, proven, that believe they can strike out the babe every single time that ends in, every day that ends in Y. There are going to be some other options out there. They may not be pretty options, but they're going to cost a fifth as much, and they're probably going to do the same, maybe a little better, maybe a little worse, but that's still going to open. I'm not as pessimistic going into this year as I was last year. Like 2021, I was negative Nancy, and I'm going to be a little bit more positive just because we know a little bit more about what these guys can do. They have an extra year of health. Chris Sale will be back. There's a lot to be positive about. I'm curious to see, though, because it's going to be a couple of, guys, I'm sure. At least one of them is going to shock us.
Well, you have to replace all those guys that I mentioned with quality guys.
Yeah, so let me get back into that really quick, though. I don't think that they're really going to worry about the tax as much because they've reset it, and you're only have to reset it every few years at this point. And they're going to have a lot of contracts coming off next year. And in theory, the farm system is going to be good enough to replace those players at a much lower cost. I mean, probably not pitching-wise, but offensively. And you're also going to have David Price coming off, which is a big one. Just all that dead money is gone. You're not paying Benintendi's contract. Pedroia's is off. So I don't think that they don't want to just blow past for the sake of blowing past. If the quality is not there, it obviously doesn't behoove them to do that, especially when you could take it to the deadline and then go past it. If that attractive option is available, unlike this year, they could play around that way. So I'm not worried about that. I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever going forward. I don't think that 196 is like, oh, man, we only got $14 million more to work with. We got to get a number five starter and three bullpen pieces. Yeah, I have no concerns regarding the 210 mark.
Well, I hope they go above it. They could always trade. But here's the thing. If you leave yourself a little on the mediocre side going into opening day, you're going to be forced to weaken your farm in July. So I'd rather them just get it right this winter so that we have the depth and, theoretically, Casas and Downs could be up by, mid-July. And Andrew, you think Casas will be up even sooner. So maybe those are your upgrades in a way offensively, but go ahead.
Well, the other good thing is even if they do sign one of these major players in free agency, they're not losing much in terms of draft capital because they didn't sign their second round pick this year, and you can't lose that in the compensation system. So they're locked in at pick number 41, and their first round pick is untouchable because they were under the tax anyways. So they're going to be inclined to go after it because you can lose a pick in the 70s. That's no problem, especially when you're going to have your first two no matter what. So I don't – like last year, we weren't going to see them lose that. They weren't going to see them drop down in the second. It would have made no sense. So, but this year, they nothing holding them back.
You still think Correa is in play?
I mean, maybe not Correa, but just one of the top shortstops. I absolutely think they're going to talk to, especially if Trevor Story's market's looking as dull as it is right now. And the New York Post and I think John Heyman also had him only getting about $22.5 million a year on a 5-year deal, which that's chump change, especially for
that's
a guy
a bargain.
That can solidify that left seal. Exactly.
I would take that. I mean, that would be better than possibly a Schwarber deal, really.
I'd be all about it, especially. I mean, it solidifies your infield as well. You're gonna have the best infield in baseball, essentially.
He could be like a J.D. Drew type guy in Fenway, despite being an infielder. I think he would have that effect. He would have that presence in the lineup. I'm just saying, I love Story. And who doesn't love hashtag Story Time? It's one of my favorites. But, yeah.
I just don't want any of the Astros. Like, I've been adamant about I don't want Carlos Correa. I don't want any of those guys. And honestly, you're starting to see the bad luck starting to hit them. Bregman looked like a shadow of his former self. He had one of the worst playoff runs that the Astros like superstars have had. And I feel like he only had one big hit that I think it was like an RBI double to right center field. Other than that, non-memorable. And Correa couldn't get it done again. You know, they just get me sick to my stomach.
I just think Correa is not going to age well. I don't think his 30s are going to be nice to him. Especially if he brings in those masseuses or whatever that broke his rib mysteriously. But I still don't think Bumgarner crashed a dirt bike. I think that was a rodeo thing, a bull riding rodeo thing. But, you know, players lie about injuries. A couple of minor moves. We don't expect Perez to come back on anything more than a minor league deal at the most. Do we think Richards could be back on maybe a $3 or $4 million deal into the bullpen?
I think he wants to start still. They're experimenting with the pre-tacked balls. Those made their way down to the AFL yesterday. So we could see some spin rate coming back up. They use those balls in the KBO and also in Japan. So they don't have any of the spider tack issues. So if he has a showcase and he's got, you know, his numbers back up, he's a case for a third division starter, you know, like a Pirates or whatever, and try to rehash some of that value. I don't see him come back.
I actually see him coming back as a reliever option only and a spot starter if they absolutely need one, because he proved that he cannot start, but he did show some added value in the bullpen. So there were a couple games that kind of stood out. I think it was the one game against the Yankees where he had like, I think it was like 4 innings, a hit allowed, 7 strikeouts. I think that sounds it. I think that was right. And it actually kind of woke me up. So when he had that, I was warming up to the idea of him being a potential reliever, but as a starter, no. And I believe the buyout for Richards was $1.5 million if he didn't end up playing this year. And you could re-sign him for $4 or $5 million. You still save $4 or $5 million at the end of it. I mean, didn't they do the same thing with Martin Perez? They didn't, pick up the option. Instead, he was a free agent. They re-signed him for like peanuts.
Well, they signed him. They're gonna about $1 million less is what they.
Was it just $1 million? I thought it was like
maybe $1 million.
For some reason, I thought it was more. Yeah. I thought it was a couple million. So my fault on that. But I think Garrett Richards, who was supposed to be making like what $8 or $10 million this year, he's going to be making half that. So you still save that $4 million one way or the other. And that's only if you feel like you don't really have that many other options, because as a starter, I don't like him.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I think his future is going to be as a reliever anyway. But, I mean, he might, you know, start some games in April, but I think he's ultimately going to end up in the pen. That's what happened with the Padres the year before this, and then with the Red Sox it happened. And so we'll see. If he ends up being someone else's problem, that's fine. Who are some notable guys that didn't get the qualifying offer? Anthony DeSclafani didn't. I don't know if he'll be on the Red Sox radar. He's probably going to be a, I don't know, $15 to $20 million a year guy. There was one other Giant, right?
Giants, I don't think so, because Brandon Belt got it, and he was their other big one. But California-wise, Clayton Kershaw, that's a huge story.
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, and they're just going to give all of his money to Scherzer. Now, I assume they're still going to try to work something out, but if he walks, that's a big, you know, a big loss for them. He's definitely older and breaking down, but just the history. It's sad to see those guys not. I mean, he could have been one of those one uniform guys, which are very rare.
I'm wondering if he ended the season on the disabled list or injured list. I'm never going to get over that. So ended the season on the injured list. And I'm just wondering is he going to need some type of surgery in the off season that might not have him ready by spring training or even April or May? His future could be somewhat murky.
We're talking about Kershaw?
Kershaw, yeah.
Yeah.
Kershaw is going to have a subpar season for the rest of his life. He is going to be attempting his hardest to go 80 miles an hour in third gear. It's just not going to happen. At best, he's a three guy, and he'll be one of the better threes in the game. The problem is he just can't stay healthy, and he's not going to blow you away with a fastball. There's no fastball there anymore. I mean, everybody knows what his out pitch is. Everyone knows why he was so successful for so long. But there's going to be no variety. They're going to be sitting off speed on Kershaw the whole time. This could actually be the next Tim Lincecum, where there's going to be a team that takes a flyer on him and he gets rocked, just absolutely destroyed. Do I see that happening? No, but he's definitely a shadow of his former self. If you get 150 innings out of him, awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone could reinvent themselves, I do think Kershaw is enough of a mechanic to be able to do that. But he's also made $257 million over his career, so it's not like he has to hang around the league. That said, he's still kind of young. He'll be, just turning 33 at the beginning of next season, or 34 at the beginning of next season. He could give you a surprise year or two. I hope he stays there. I hope he does well. He's one of the good guys. The one that was even more, you know, kind of more surprising was for the White Sox, Carlos Rodon. I mean, talk about him.
That was the one.
Just a beaten mule. The College World Series destroyed him and what it could have been. And if he suckers some team into like a 5-year, $90 million or whatever McCullers got, that's going to be just like playing with us, like a live stick of dynamite throughout the entirety of that contract.
Even after two solid seasons?
But he fell apart this year. Rodon. Didn't he? Wasn't he breaking down? I know he got hurt again. He's not a guy I would trust. That arm is just a ticking time bomb.
Well, he was pitching in October, so I wasn't aware that he had that steep of a drop off. Kershaw has forearm discomfort, and he's had a lot of back issues as well. So I think there's a lot of concerns as far as his overall durability. Another one, if we want to talk about old guys, Justin Verlander was offered the qualifying offer today by the Astros. So be interesting. I think he has to take it, doesn't he? At 40 years old, 39, 40 years old?
He's taking it. It's easy money. It's easy money. And honestly, he's going to have to do some sorries. He's going to have to give some apologies out to teammates because he got a free paycheck this year and didn't do diddly. He was one of the players that literally the team was just like, nope, we don't want him here. Like, we don't want him here at all.
I'm curious as to what that was for, though. I don't think that had anything to do with his contract, but there was something in the clubhouse.
Because he didn't show up. They thought after the heat that went on, after the investigation, he ducked out and then skipped the whole entire year so he wouldn't have to deal with it. I mean, we saw Chris Sale hanging out in the dugout before he was even rehabbing, you know? He was like, I just want to be around this team. I want to be around the team. And Verlander's just, you know, hanging out back home, doing his own thing. And I mean, I'd be pissed off. Yeah, you're making $33 million a year, and you threw probably just a handful of innings after signing that two-year deal. I don't know. Kind of stupid that they would have offered that. I guess it's a pride thing at this point. But I'm not giving up a second-round pick. I'll wait him out till June 15th, whenever the deadline is.
Right.
I think he has to take the money, though, because – He would be looking at probably a $5 to $10 million deal with a bunch of incentives to escalate it to probably about $18 million if he was going to sign with another team.
So I guess here, look, I was trying to find this and I couldn't, but I just did. So we'll find out tomorrow. He's thrown at a Cressy Sports Performance. So essentially, he's doing that whole thing that Kluber did last year with the showcase in the exact same spot for all the teams to go watch. So that is scheduled for tomorrow. And I guess teams will be in his ear, and he might be one of the first ones we'll know if he's going to take that QO or not.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if, like, even though his elbow's rebuilt, he could have shoulder issues next year given his age. So, but he's been a guy who has been durable largely throughout his career. And Charlie, you mentioned, you know, he had that $33 million season that, you know, he had Tommy John, so he got paid for sitting out. I still, if I was the Astros, would have signed that deal to start with based on his good record of health. That was just, I think, bad luck on their part, and he ended up going down. He's a gamer. I love Justin Verlander.
I know you really like him.
I love
but
him.
But he was another – I know you do. but he was another one of those guys, though, Terry, that – he seemed to fall apart, and I'm not sure if it's because of his wife or whatever. And then he goes to Houston, and he doesn't pitch as good as he did before. He pitches even better. He was better as an Astro than he was as a Tiger.
It's on the tack.
That's insane. I absolutely believe it. I mean, Garrett Cole, for example, was whatever in Pittsburgh. He comes over to play in Houston. He's twice as good. He's striking 300 guys out. Like, he's just lighting everything away. Just it's over. And then he goes to New York and he's, you know, not quite as good. He's still pretty good. He's not great. It's a tale of three Coles is what we saw.
Yeah, and my other big beef with, sorry, really quick, Verlander, he's the reason that the Red Sox signed Pablo Sandoval. Let's not forget that. After he rocked him for the two home runs in the World Series, and then we signed him after that year. Yeah, that's the reason Sandoval was a Red Sox, and I'll never forgive him for that one.
For the record, I mean, I didn't think that deal was going to be bad immediately. I mean, I had concerns for the back end, but it was a five-year deal. He was 27. I just figured it would work out. I figured he'd go to first base. I didn't think he was going to be, you know, at the buffet the whole time. Yeah, it was terrible. It was a terrible deal.
I hated it.
I also thought the Carl Crawford deal was going to be one of the greatest of all time, and I was wrong on that. I was so excited for that, too, and that was a bummer.
What was that, 7 years, 142?
Yes, yeah. Yep, right about there. And then Gonzalez, same season, got about 10 or 12 more than that. So right. What a bad – that was – man – 2011 was supposed to be so much fun.
Thanks, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, they did bail us out. All right. So final thoughts and we'll wrap.
I think that we're going to find out a lot in the next 10 days. I think that the Red Sox could potentially make some noise prior to December 1st shutdown. I mean, I think it's inevitable at this point that we're going to have a lockout. I think that they can flex their financial muscles if they want and if agents are willing to play before that to give some of these guys some peace of mind. Be like, listen, here's money if you want to have this before the uncertainty kicks in. Like, if you want a contract before all this shutdown happens, we have it for you. So
now when you say lockout, do you think that's going to like go beyond opening day?
I don't. I think they'll probably get it done like right before spring training or maybe a weekend. That's my prediction. I think inevitable lockout, spring training. They miss a week.
Yeah, because I mean, they lost so much money in 2020. Why would they want to mess with 2022? And I think the owners know that they're going to have to make some concessions this time around. And maybe they're so delusional that they don't think they'll have to. But, you know, common sense should say that they do. Charlie, final thoughts?
Carlos Rodon is going to have another great year. It's going to lead a team into overpaying him. I hope he doesn't also find his way in New York. That would suck. But just what Andrew said, I don't even think it's going to take 10 days. I think we're going to find a lot out in the next couple days. Less than a week, we're going to have some questions answered. I'm also curious to see where Clayton Kershaw goes, because I don't think it's going to be a Dodger. I don't think he's a Dodger next year either.
No, I don't think so. And he might have, I mean, he'll have to pass physicals. Like, there's a mountain of things. Here's one other hot take, and this will be my final thought. Jake DeGrom has Tommy John by May. It's happening. He's on the Chris Sale plan. Oh,
I can't talk about DeGrom.
Yeah, well,
I can't do this. You already know why. I can't do it.
He's made of, a cheap clay or something, and just breaks, you know, during the season. Anyway, let's end it before I get myself in any more trouble. Have a good one. We'll hopefully be back in the coming days. We'll find an excuse to do it. Everybody have a good week. Take care.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.